Chapter number 4, if you have your Bibles. 2 Kings, chapter number 4. These are your prayers. Pray for me. I trust God. Help us. It doesn't matter how much one studied, no matter how much he's prepared. If God don't touch it, nothing gets done. I'm afraid we have got to the place we think it's in us. Let me remind you tonight, it's not in you and I, it's in Him. Let me remind you tonight, this thing ain't about you, it's about Him. This thing ain't about you going through life with no troubles, it's about Him being glorified. This thing ain't about you never having no ups or downs, it's about you being like Him. Things all about Him. Church is about Him. Yeah. Amen. We think it's all about you and I coming in and getting something, but it's really all about Him. And you take God out of anything, it's dead. Regardless of what you, that's why we got a dead world. They push God out. And in a world that doesn't care anything about God, doesn't care anything about Him, peace is nothing more than a dream. Because He is that delivers and brings peace. And I appreciate the Lord in that. I appreciate Him and His presence. Read with us, if you would, in 2 Kings chapter number 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast, thou in the house." And she said, "Thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, bar not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out unto all those vessels, thou shalt set aside that which is full." And she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said to her sons, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said to her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go sell the oil and pay thy debt. Live thy and thy children on the rest." Dear Lord and God, I thank you for this day, this time, this place. I thank you, Lord, tonight for this privilege, God, Lord, to be in the house of the Lord. I thank you tonight, Lord, for giving me a good day, Lord, and giving me a time, Lord, together. Lord, back at the house of God again tonight, Lord. Let me be reminded, Lord, why I preach. Let me be reminded, Lord, to whom I preach to, Lord, and touch me tonight, Lord, in a mighty way. Give me that I need from God. Touch me, O Lord, tonight I pray. Over your power, Lord, I do know tonight, Lord, the Lord, I can't operate off of life tonight, Lord. I must have a fresh hole, Lord, again tonight, Lord. And I know, Lord, where my help cometh, dear Lord God. Lord, I know there's nothing in me. I know, Lord, if I don't never get in that gear, Lord, I won't preach tonight. But I beg you, Lord, to help me, I pray. Touch me, I pray, Lord. Give me that I need from God. Lord, we'll honor you, love you, magnify you, and glorify that you do in your blessed, holy, and humbly name. I do humbly pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. This lady goes before Elisha and pleads her case. And he says, "What do you have in the house?" And she says, "Nothing but save a pot of oil." And it seems as though that word save and that pot seems to... She doesn't say that I have a barrel of oil, but I just got a little pot full. And I'm interested tonight in preaching to you. And to my own heart also tonight, when a little goes a long way. And you can find out throughout the Bible that God often uses little things. And we all better say, amen, thank you, Lord. Amen. If you ever get big, he's probably done with you. Amen. Amen. That's what I do every time before I come to pulpit. I make sure I carry myself as low as I can get who I really am. I know what it takes in a man. And God uses little things throughout the Bible. And you can find that God took a little lunch that those disciples didn't think was enough to feed the little boy. But yet God took it and put it in the hands of God and fed a multitude. You can also find where God took a little penny and they were declared that it was a lot more than all of those ever put in. You can find in the Bible where the God took the faith of the disciples and which he called to be little faith. But yet never he uses those little things throughout the Bible. You can find in the Old Testament where there was a lady one day, never she was scraping bottom. But God never took a little handful of meal and carried her through the storms of life. I'm come to tell you tonight, God uses little things. We think we got to have big things. We think we got to have big testifying. We think we got to have big praying. We think we got to have big preaching. But can I tell you tonight, God delights to honor, thank God, in little bitty things. And I say, thank you, Lord. They spend some time at the church. Thank God, when I've seen those stand to testify and they made this statement, preacher, I don't have a whole lot in my heart, but I want to stand tonight and tell it that I love him. And they sat back down. All of a sudden somebody over the aisle said, preacher, I want to tonight tell him that I love him. And they sat back down. And in those little bitty things, God begins to move around the house of God. I'm glad God delights in little bitty things. I'm glad it don't take a mountain, but it takes a little bit of faith. Amen. And God delights in little things. And this woman, she declared all she's got is a little pot of oil. That's all I have. But tonight, before I deal with this woman's pot of oil, I want to look at this woman's problem. And I'm interested never in her problem, and never she's got a problem, that we all sitting here tonight have some of the same problems. We all tonight could agree with this lady. Maybe she's living in a time of discouragement. You say, why you say that, preacher? Maybe her husband has died. Her husband has slipped off the scene. Probably one that she loved. Probably the dear man that she ate supper with, and now she's gone. This afternoon, never I was able this evening never to pay Miss Kate a visit. Never Brother Berman Kate fine. And I sat at that table. I sat at there with her, and she looked at me and began to tell me how hard it was. Never she began to tell me how rough it's been. She said, I miss him so bad. I thought about this same lady. Thank God she's living in discouragement. Ain't it amazing never how God's people live in discouragement so much? It seems that in our day, in our time, and in my place where I worship and where I preach, I seem like I have to always encouraging God's people because there's a state of discouragement has swept in our country. A time when it seems never before the devil seemed to be on a rampage trying to discourage God's people. Trying to never get your head in the sand. Always trying to discourage. And this lady, she's got a problem of discouragement. But not only do we find her problem of discouragement, we also find never the creditor has come. And he said he's come to take away my boys. The creditors come. That one that was once stayed at bay. That one that once was on the outside. That one that once had nothing to do with his family. But now that daddy's gone. Now that never daddy's gone. Now the creditor is knocking on her door. The creditor, she's got something that the creditor
wants. She's got something that creditor needs, and she has no way of holding back the creditor. But that creditor, he's coming in. He said she wants to take my boys. He wants to separate my family. That's our problem today. I want to remind all of us tonight, thank God we're still in this flesh, and we still have an enemy. Thank God, in his name's the devil. He ain't going to sleep. Never, even though the church has. Never, the devil has not been rocked to sleep tonight. He's still on a rampage. And we find in the book, never, of Timothy, chapter number 2, number 1, verse number 5, never, in verse number 8, that he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What's it doing, preacher? He's longing to separate the family. He's longing to bust up the homes. I want to promise every one of you something tonight. Thank God there's nobody here tonight bulletproof. Amen. There's no home here tonight, never, that is exempt, never, from the devil's desire. I promise you one thing. His desire, never, is to split your family, daddy. His desire, mama, is to split the family. His desire, thank God, is to have you meeting down yonder at Walmart next Sunday evening and changing your children over to another car, and you taking your children back, and they living with you for another week, and then next weekend coming back living with daddy. That's what his desire is. His desire tonight is to separate the church. His desire to split the church down the middle. Can I remind you one thing tonight when I'm on that subject? Can I remind y'all one thing? The devil never has split a church. I said the devil never has split a church. If he could split the church, might be split before I got home. Amen. But I'll tell you what he does desire to do. He desires to roar in the members. Roar in the family. And the family splits the church. Amen. But listen for me. His desire is to take the church and separate it. Now take that little part and carry over yonder and put them on another side of a storefront building and call it fellowship. Ain't that amazing? Thank God they can't get along nowhere. So they'll split down the middle, separate, and start at a forefront building and call it fellowship. That's amazing to me. But his desire, it's to tear the church apart. And the desire, listen to this preacher tonight, thank God, Middle Park Baptist Church, far as I'm concerned, thank God, you got the best preacher that walks in shoe leather. I believe that. Thank God, you got one of the better men. You got one of God's choice men in this church. Thank God, I don't know none no better. Amen. I don't know none no cleaner. I don't know none no straighter. I don't know none loves his flock more than his preacher loves his flock. Let me tell you something about you, preacher, okay? Thank God, when I say Brother Ronnie Jones is coming to preach a meet for me at my church, you know what I got a man that'll say? He said, that's the preacher that loves his church. That's the preacher that cared about his church. Why, they've seen it in him. But I'm going to tell you something. In spite of the great man of God, in spite of the great choir that you have, in spite of the great move of God that you have, you're not exempt. Thank God, he'll have to split Middle Park Baptist Church down the middle. Amen. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He'll have to separate our homes. He'll have to, next time you hear about my name comes up. He'll have to hear somebody say this about my family. Yeah, you know Brother Price, his family, his wife walked off and left him. He'll lie for my wife tonight. Thank God, get hooked up on something and pull out and leave me and my two boys. He'll lie for this daddy tonight. Thank God, pull out and get out of ministry. He'll smile at that. And that's what his desire is. He wants to split my family. Hey, Elijah, the man, the creditor's coming. He wants to separate my family. He wants to carry part of it down yonder. And never make me stay up here. He wants to separate our families. Amen. Listen for me. This lady had a husband that she said feared God. That's what she said about him. And I believe this would probably, in our day, probably be a good fundamental Bible-believing, sin-killing family right here. I believe it's probably a pretty good family. But yet, thank God, it was still the desire of the creditor to split that home. Yeah. I'm not going to get hung up right here for a while, okay? Let me remind everybody something. The devil ain't trying to get that church over yonder that left the King James Bible. That ain't the church he's after. Why? He done got that one. He's not trying to get that church over yonder that's praying, that's reading them in, ain't got his shaking hands and declaring that they're all right. He's not after that. But that that's a believing right, that that's standing true, that that's believing the truth, he's got his sight set on it. That home, thank God, that has never stood their ground and never lived their life separated. His sights are set on your home, Daddy. Amen. Oh, God. You said, preacher, not my home. Hold on a minute. Go out yonder tonight. Ain't got to get my phone out of the car. Read that text message I got today from one of my church members. And it said this. Preacher, would you please pray for my mama and pray for my daddy? He said, the devil's doing all he can do to separate my home. Preacher, would you please pray? And call me when you get out of meeting, preacher. When you get out of meeting this week, I need to talk to you. And I said, all right. I called my wife. And I said, honey, I got a lady on the phone, on the talking. She wants to talk to me. I said, would you call her and let me know what's going on? My wife called me a few minutes later and said, oh, Steve, you don't want to know. I said, what's wrong, honey? Did you know so-and-so in that church? I said, yes. She said, the last night, they got mama slapped daddy. Daddy slapped mama. And they walked off. And mama packed her bags and walked off. I said, oh, my. I come to tell you tonight, thank God, your home ain't exempt, daddy. Your home ain't exempt, mama. Thank God, there's a desire in the devil to split the home and tear the church apart.
Right.
Amen. Let me just say one thing. If the devil can get in their homes, he'll have a good spot to get in the church. Because our church is made up of homes. Amen. And I'm going to tell us all something. The church ain't no stronger than the home that makes it up. Amen. And his desire is to tear the family apart. Tear the home family apart. And tear the church family apart. Not only that, not only is he wanting to tear the family apart, he wants to take my boys to be bondsmen. Here's what he wants to do. He wants to take my boys down yonder and let them work for him.
That's right.
And they be his slaves. And they do what he tells them to do. Can I tell you tonight, my daddy, the devil's desire is to rip your heart out by taking that little girl you hold so dear to your heart and make a streetwalker out of her. I didn't come to be disrespectful, but I'm being honest. Amen. Daddy, his desire, and mama, his desire is to take that boy, thank God, that you hold so dear, thank God, and take him, thank God, never put earrings in his ears, never nose ring in his nose, look like they fell in daddy's tackle box and come up with lords hanging off of them. That's what he wants them to look like. He wants to put a ponytail down there back, put them over yonder crack house somewhere. Thank God, pushing drugs. That's what he wants to do out of them. You said, preacher, not my boy. Yes, ma'am, your boy. Amen. He don't care who youngin' it is. Preacher chugging. Thank God, Dickon chugging. It don't really matter. Thank God, his desire is to tear the family apart and take the children away and call them bondmen and they work for him.
Yes,
preacher, that won't happen. Let me tell you something tonight. I was a preaching in Taylorsville Baptist Church. Or Taylorsville, North Carolina. I was preaching on the home. And different message, but I was preaching on the home. And the devil's desire for the home. And a man come up to me after the service. He sat in on a church pew with about five boys with him. Clean cut, well-groomed boys. Ties and all looked like men. And he come up to me after the service. He said, preacher, I'm going to tell you something. He said, it may help you one day. He said, but I have a boys' home. He said, I started 7 years ago. He said, and over those 7 years, I've seen 32 boys come through my home. He said, but I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you, preacher. He said, out of those 32 boys that's come through my home, he said, five of them come out of the world. He said, the rest of them come off of church pews. I said, "You're kidding me." He said, "I'm a telling you, preacher, I started a boys' home reaching out to the world. I thought I'd get them out of the crack houses, but I ain't got the five out of the crack house. I've got most of them off the Baptist church pew." Amen. Thank God ever. He said, "Those men boys that I have, that 27 that I got, they know how to tie ties." He said, "Preacher, they know what a suit is." He said, "They know what preaching is. They know what the Bible is." I said, "But what happened?" He said, "Somewhere, thank God, Daddy let his guard down, and the devil slipped in and got his children and carried them up there yonder to the name of the mud holes of this world. And now they brought them back to me, trying to help get me to straighten them out, preacher." He said, "Would you pray for me? I got news for you tonight, Daddy. Thank God, he'd like to take that little girl. Thank God, and mar your name. Thank God, he'd like to have you on the back, on the bed next Friday night with that little girl crying in your lap, telling you she's pregnant. That's what his desire is. His desire is to tell you that that little boy looks at you and say, 'Daddy, I'm going to be the daddy of a child. My girlfriend's pregnant.' That's what his desire is. Preacher, not me. Yes, I come to Tina. The creditor's coming, and he's knocking at your door. What are we going to do?" She said, "I got a problem, man of God. The creditor's come. He wants to tear my home apart. He wants to take my boys down to be bondsmen." And he says, "What are we going to do about it? What she have in the house?" Here's what she's looking for. She's looking for something to keep the creditor away. She's looking for something to keep the creditor from splitting her home up. She's looking for something to keep the creditor from carrying her boys off to be bondsmen. She's looking for something. And she makes this statement. Now, in my mind, it's probably not the first time she's went looking. She probably looked a lot through that house, wondering, what do we have to keep the creditor away? Boys, get in your room. Pull out everything you got in there. What we got, boys, to keep the creditor away? Can I ask Mineral Park and the Baptist Church tonight, what do you have to keep the creditor away? What do you got to keep the creditor away? Daddy, what do you have in your home to keep your from going down the drain? Mama, what do you have in your home to keep your daughter from walking the streets of Chattanooga? What do I have tonight to keep my boys off the roads? Yes, what do I have tonight to keep my boys on a Baptist church pew? Listen for a minute. Yes. If the devil can't get your boy off over yonder somewhere in some crack house, he'll pull him out of this Baptist church where he's been raised, he's been preached the truth to, and carry him down the road somewhere. Thank God they don't know what the truth really is. Amen. He'd be happy with that. Amen. He'd be satisfied with just getting him out yonder. Oh my, listen. Listen, the first step of downhill is leaving the house of God. Amen. The first step, I'm going to preach in the name, thank God, with everything in me. Thank God, the first step they're in, thank God, is leaving the house of God. Amen. Thank God, she's downhill from there. Amen. Can I remind you, I don't know who's here tonight, who's visited, who ain't, but if you're part of Mineral Baptist Church, thank God, Mineral Park Baptist Church, anchor yourself down, thank God, and declare, "I shall not be moved." Amen. Thank God, listen, Rudy, you don't know what you have at Mineral Park Baptist Church. Ain't got a man of God that loves you and cares about you. Ain't got a good place to worship. You better bow your head and thank God for it. Amen. And it's the truth. Amen. She said, "What do we have?" I just said, "What do you got?" Can I ask Mineral Park Baptist Church now, what do we got? Well, man of God, I got to listen. I got to listen, Sunday school pen's about that long. That won't work. Man of God, I got all this. I do all of this. I don't go there. I got all this goodness things I do. That won't work. What do you got? Well, man of God, I don't really have nothing. But a little pot of oil, that'll work. Let me remind you one thing. Everybody listen to me. All in the Bible represents the Holy Ghost. And I come to tell you that's all we have. Amen. If the Holy Ghost don't do it, it won't get done. Amen. Daddy, you ain't big enough to fight him off. Amen. Deacons, listen to me for a minute. Thank God, I don't know who you are. But deacons, you can't stand out by the church and fight the devil out of here. That won't work. But there is a thing called the Holy Ghost. The God, the member of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that is all we have, and that's all we need. Amen. Daddy, listen for a minute, okay? Listen, I know I'm a preaching of something that ain't. Thank God it is. Thank God it's days gone by. Thank God I know that. I was told 2 weeks ago, a preacher, I was preaching in a meeting, and I got to preach about John the Baptist being full of the Holy Ghost from mama's womb. And I heard man walked up to me and said, "Preacher, you're making too much of the Holy Ghost." And that's why he got our youngest out yonder. Amen. That's why he's got our daughters on the street. Thank God, amen. We need the Holy Ghost at the house of God. Amen. Goodness is good. Straight walking straight. Amen. Good clean living is good. But don't separate the Holy Ghost. We got to have the Holy Ghost at the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We've got it all in fear. We've got it all lined up. But tonight we're in a desperate need of the Holy Ghost. Preachers, we got all the sermon outlines. We got all the hair and style placed. Thank God we got all the ties up right. But thank God we're desperate need the Holy Ghost. Amen. That is the only thing that'll work. Amen. Thank God how many of you got saved on the joint of the Holy Ghost? Everybody lift your hand up. Amen. Thank God you will not see sinners saved apart from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I'm glad the Holy Ghost can stay a creditor. Amen. I'm glad the Holy Ghost can say, "Stay back, buddy." Amen. I can't keep him back. Thank God you can't keep him back. But the Holy Ghost, thank God, can keep him back and stay the creditor. All I got is this little pot of oil. He said, "That's all you're going to need. Bring that little pot of oil. Come on. See, what don't you do with that pot of oil? Don't you go under there and close that closet door. Close that door. Don't you go out yonder. Don't you borrow all kind of vessels. Bring them in here. Don't you take that pot of oil you got. Don't you close that door. You got to get this. Close that door and take that little pot of oil and pour it." We do a lot of bragging on that pot, don't we? But I'm tell you something, it ain't no good that's poured.
Amen.
Amen. It ain't no good till it's poured. We can brag on our church. We can brag on everything we do. We can brag on our straight lace. Thank God we can brag on our long, thank God, skirts. Amen. But don't forget to pour over when it's all said and done. Amen. Thank God, listen, we do a lot of bragging on our pots, but that pot of oil won't help her none. The creditor would have knocked her door down, bragging on her pot of oil. He said, "But I just don't want you to take that pot of oil, close that door, and go to pouring. Pour that pot of oil. My mind's eye, I can see this lady. That little boy brings her a pot. He's holding it for her. The pot's big. The vessel's bigger than the pot. So she goes to pouring. All of a sudden, she fills up that vessel. She sets it over there. He gets her nothing. Out of that same old pot. Don't tell us what we need to do sometimes. Come in the house of God on Sunday morning. You preacher, I ain't got a whole lot. Quit worrying about how much you got and just go to pouring."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How many remember them days when they pour in the choir? How many remember them days that pour in Sunday school? How many remember them days that pour in the parking lot? The other night, thank God I was in a revival meeting, and when I got done preaching, or before I got in the pulpit, thank God that preacher looked out that door. He is doing this number, doing this number. And I said, "What's going on in that church? What's that preacher doing?" He said, "They, boys, they the man out yonder having him a God pit in that parking lot. And out there in that parking lot, there's a man shouting." He said, "What happened?" He just went in the parking lot, just went to pouring. Amen. Thank God we need some mamas and daddies and get around the house of God. Thank God, don't worry about anything. Thank God, just go to pour it. Thank God, on Sunday morning, just go to pour it. When do I pour, preacher? When he said pour, pour. Amen. Thank God, just go to pour it. It'll work in these days we're living in. Preacher ain't got much. But little goes a long way if you'll go pour it. Ain't that amazing? Ain't that amazing? How long, how far a little pour to go? How many members them days when them saints of God would pour? In my mind's asking, my mind's going back to a lady in my church where I grew up, okay? I grew up in a, don't walk off and leave me. Brother Ronnie, you might have to, he knows it, I think, but I grew up as Free Will Baptist. And they were free will completely. What does that mean? Free to do whatever God told them to do. It didn't matter. It didn't matter when it was or what was going on. If he said do it, they'd do it. It was a free will church. My daddy pastored it. I grew up in that. I grew up and go with Miss Lovins. And she'd stand to the feet. She'd raise her hand. My daddy'd say, yes, ma'am. Dear son of God. He'd say, yes, ma'am. She'd say, preacher, I don't have I can't sing. We all know she couldn't. She was telling the truth. She couldn't sing. And she said, preacher, I can't sing. He said, but I got a song. I've been walking around the house humming all evening long. She said, I can't sing it. But y'all mind if I read it? Daddy say, come on up here. Thank God, she'd take her little pot of oil. She'd get to never stand up behind that pulpit. And she'd say, thank God, brother, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. About that time, thank God, those around her, thank God, you wouldn't believe what would happen. Thank God, she'd go to pouring. Then next thing you know, I got a mama go to pouring. Thank God, then we got two of pouring. Thank God, amen. Listen, and next thing I know, I got a daddy. Thank God, he's gone home to be with the Lord. He'd be back, get her behind his back, get on one foot, and come across the burn of that church. I was a little boy, didn't know much about it, but I knew God was in the house. Thank God, I knew there was something happened. Why? Saints of God never had closed the door and went to point all, and it happened in these days. Amen. Listen. Notice the effect of her pouring. See what she do? Bring all them empty vessels in here, boys. Bring all them empty ones in here. Put them in here. We're going to fill up empty vessels. I'm a little pot. That's amazing to me.
Yes, sir.
We're going to take this little, save a pot of oil. What are we doing this for, Mama? We're going to do all we can do to keep that creditor out of here.
Yeah.
We're going to do all we can do to get me out of this discouragement. Can I just stop and tell you something? It's hard to live in discouragement when you're pouring oil. Amen. Thank God, it's hard. It's hard to live in doubt, Mama, when you're pouring oil. Thank God, it's hard to worry about the prayer bill when you're pouring oil. Thank God, it's hard to worry about the outside world when you're pouring oil. Thank God, listen for me. Thank God, I got a home back there at my church tonight. Thank God, needs help. But right now, thank God, that's on the back burner. Why? God's let me pour a little bit of oil, and I'll take care of that later. I'm glad when you're pouring oil, thank God, trouble's rolled away. Thank God, amen. Glory be to God, amen. I remember to pull a pin a time or two. Thank God, in dark, gloom days. But thank God, somebody go to pour it. Thank God, I could never get help from somebody go to pour it. Ain't been a few days down the house of God. Thank God, I went in dragging my tracks out. I couldn't get my head out of sand. But all of a sudden, somebody goes to pour it. Thank God, I come out of there stepping like a Tennessee stepping horse. You say, why, preacher? Something happened when God says, go to pour it all at the house of God. Amen. Amen. See what you do. Bring me them empty vessels. Wait a minute, Mama. These vessels are empty. I was thinking about this today over to the motel. And I'm reading between the lines. Mama, that mirror got cobwebs in it. It's been a long time since it had oil poured in it. What are we going to do, Mama? Bring it here. We're going to fill every one of them up. There wasn't a one left that room half full. Not a one left that room quarterly full. They was all full to the brim. I remember them days leaving church. Preacher, my pouring don't mean a lot. I'm going to tell you something. Sitting across, sitting across the aisle from you is Sister So-and-so. It's been a long time since she's had some oil. Well, she needs help. Her vessel seems to be just almost empty. There ain't been nothing in it in a long time. But all of a sudden, here comes Miss Susie in the door. Thank God. She'd been out there at the prayer place. And God put something down inside of her. Miss Susie comes in here. And all of a sudden, she said, "Preacher, I want to do something." And Miss Susie goes to pouring. All of a sudden, thank God, Miss Price over there, she got her vessel full. Here she goes. What's wrong with her? She looked awfully sad coming in here, but my vessel got full because somebody started to pour. Don't tell the church, listen to me for a minute. I know we're living in discouraging days, but I'll tell you what, I have a lot of our discouragement. Thank God, just close the door and go to pouring. Amen. You say, "Preacher, why'd that close that door for me?" You leave some things out yonder.
Amen.
Close some things out. Amen. Oh, we bring too much luggage to church. Amen. We bring too much problems to church. Wondering what's wrong. Hey, God, close the door for a little while. Amen. Hey, God, close the door for a little bit. Leave some things out yonder and let's go to pouring at the house of God. Amen. I'm telling you, jealous tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Listen, she filled up them empty vessels, but then she filled up them available vessels. I don't know how many was here, but every one of them got full. But if there'd been 10,000 here, she could fill every one of them up. Ain't it amazing when oil is being poured, we leave empty sometimes because our vessel ain't available. Oh, Lord, listen. Why? Because we don't like who's pouring. We don't like who's pouring. See, that woman over yonder pouring didn't speak to me last week. And we're leaving empty. Blaming it on the church, but it's the vessel's problem. Can I remind you tonight? I love your preacher. I pour different than he pours. He pours different than I pour. But would we be good, be God enough to lay all that aside? And just let who's pouring. If it's all, put your vessel under it. Amen. But I know them. Guess what? He knows you. There ain't nobody here tonight perfect. Amen. There ain't nobody, ain't no perfect neighbor preacher tonight sitting in here, and I'm including this preacher. There ain't no perfect member sitting here, but ain't it good to know God lets us pour? Amen. How many of you prayed all day long? How many of you prayed all week long? How many of you come in church on Sunday morning, and a lot of times, thank God you ain't prayed? I'm being honest. Well, I'm trying to tell you, there ain't nobody really worthy of pouring oil. It's the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
If He lets you pour.
Amen.
But we'll take our vessel because we don't like who's pouring. We don't like the way they're pouring. We'll keep our vessel to ourselves. And our vessel now has gotten dry. But that one done me wrong, preacher. That one's done this and that one's done that. Would to God the Baptist Church would shut the door on a lot of things. And come in the house of God and shut your door around you. Quit worrying about what everybody is doing and what worry about what everybody ain't doing. And if Miss Susie goes to pouring oil, if it's oil, put your vessel under it and let's get help from the Lord. Amen. I'm glad one day I figured out I wasn't the oil inspector or the pour inspector. I just found out if they're going to pour oil, I'm going to put... God's over all of that. If they're going to pour oil, I'm going to put my vessel under it. Oh, Lord, listen. I went to a meeting in Lenore, North Carolina. Preacher Rick Seifert had a meeting, and I went. And on Tuesday morning, there's a preacher got up. I'm this type of person.
Try not to be. But he got up to preaching. I said this. He's a preaching. Don't laugh, please. I ain't trying to be funny. He's preaching on being overweight. I turned him off. I didn't want to hear a thing he had to say. I felt like he had his finger in my nose. And he didn't even know me. I felt like, brother, he would look at me dead in the eye. And Brother Rick looked at me and said, in the morning, you're preaching. I said, I don't want to preach in front of that man. Now, this man wasn't being disrespectful. He just made that. Listen, he just made that reference. And he preached a great message. But I had him turned off. I got up the next morning to preach. And as I got to preaching, that man looked at me. Can I tell you all this? Can I take a minute? He looked at me, and he got to crying. I made eye contact with him. I was up preaching. And in my mind's eye, there wasn't nobody in that church but me and that preacher. I guess there's 500 there. But in my mind's eye, there wasn't nobody but me and him. I was preaching to him, and he was saying, preach on to me, buddy. After the service, I didn't know who this preacher was. He come up to me and got down on his feet and his knees. And washed my feet off, washed my shoes with his handkerchief, and pulled upon me and said, "Man of God, I want you to know tonight, I love you." He said, "I don't know who you are, but I love you." I said, "Help me, Lord." I said, "Yesterday I didn't think much of you." I told him the truth. I said, "Yesterday, buddy, I didn't think much of you. But today, I want you to know I love you." Here's what he told me. I went back the next day. He came up to me, sat down beside me. Listen to this. He said, "I want you to know something." He said, "I found out who you was." He said, "I found out what your name was." He said, "That name seemed like it had something in the back of my mind about that name." But he said, "I found out who you was." He said, "Let me tell you a story." He said, "Back down yonder, year, 2 years ago, I got a phone call of a big-time evangelist had fallen." He said, "I wept on my way home." He said, "But I knew that big-time evangelist had a pastor somewhere. And that pastor somewhere had to deal with that fallen evangelist." He said, "And I know the caliber of this evangelist. That pastor is going to have to make a stand. And it's going to be hard on him." He said, "I went to my church that night. And I told my church, so-and-so has fallen. He said, he needs to be out of the ministry." He said, "But my heart's for a preacher that I don't even know. My heart's for a preacher that I've never met before." He said, "Somewhere then, there's a preacher going through the fire. He needs help." Yeah. And said, "Church, we're going to pray for a preacher that we don't know." He said, "I found out last night that was you." He said, "I found out last night that preacher I prayed for a year and a half was Steve Price." He said, "Yesterday morning, when you were preaching," he said, "what he told me." He said, "You preach different than I do." He said, "Don't you know one thing? You helped my heart. Here I felt about that big." Why, preacher? Because I thought I was somebody to turn that preacher off. And I said, "Man of God, I want you to know one thing. I love you." He looked at me and said, "You always have a place in my heart. I'll never forget you." He called me the other day. Just want to say this, "Preacher Price, you know who this is?" I said, "I don't know. I don't call his name. Some of y'all know him." He said, "This is Preacher so-and-so." He said, "You had your heart. I want to call you and tell you I love you." I said, "Preacher, can I tell you something?" He said, "What's that, preacher?" I said, "I love you too." I go down the road crying, telling him I love him. And he's telling me he loves me. He said, "Why, preacher, thank God God can fill up our vessels. Yes, right. And we'll quit judging everybody." Amen. We'll shut the door on that judgmental spirit.
that you may pour different than I pour. She may not pour like you think she should pour, but that's the way God told her to pour. He may not pour like you think he should pour. That's the way God told them to pour. Thank God. And by the way, we're all God's youngins. Thank God we all got oil. We just go to pouring. Just go to pouring oil. You put your vessel under it. Listen. Had an effect on those vessels. Wonder what kind of effect it had on them youngins. Sitting around. Watching mama. Pour. In my mind's eye, I can imagine them boys' eyes about that big around. They know that them vessel a lot bigger than that pot was. But they must be saying, what a God. What a God. Yeah. That part is that thing about mama. It's probably all about God. That is what pouring does. It magnifies God, not us. A biblical pouring magnifies God and not us. But I can imagine in my mind's eye, listen. Later down the road, mama fell off the scene. Little boys come up to her. Here comes that creditor back. Boys, your mama's dead and gone. But y'all still owe us something. What y'all gonna do? I imagine that boy said, load his brother said, go get that pot of oil. We're gonna do the same thing mama done. We're gonna pour oil. Oh, you man, I don't see what we quit doing in our Baptist church. We quit doing what our forefathers used to do. Yeah. Pour oil. Amen. We got it too complicated now. It's so complicated at the house of God. Oh my. It's so complicated at God's house. It's hard sometimes to even pour oil. But wouldn't we be like them old timers and just come in here, quit worrying about all? Can I remind everybody something tonight? Testifying around the house of God. Thank God sometimes, listen to me, sometimes things people don't say things just right. I'm preaching here tonight like I do my own church, okay? Sometimes they don't say things just right. It'd do us all good quit dissecting all of that. Thank God, just let them pour. Amen. The little boy says, let's do what mama done. Let's pour oil. One night, I was in a meeting in Waynesville, North Carolina. And there's a lady sitting right here. It was a preacher's wife. I was preaching and she got shouting. I just quit preaching. The church got there, she got an uproar and I just quit. I want to pray and sit down. And that woman just had her a shouting fit. I mean a good old shouting fit. And about that time, it calmed down. I wasn't in the pulpit. Preacher wasn't in the pulpit. Just sitting there. And it calmed down. A little 10-year-old girl stood at her feet. She said, can I say something, preacher? I said, you sure can, ma'am. And she said, I want to tell my mama I love her. I said, who is your mama? She said, that woman shouting. I said, won't you go over and tell her? And she did. She goes over there, and here's what she said, Mama, I love you. She said, when God saved me, I want to be just like you. I said, oh, what happened? She saw Mama pour. And now baby's wanting to pour. Daddy, I'm going to tell you what these youngins need. They need to see their daddy pouring oil. Oh, Lord. Mama, they've seen you put your Walmart buggy. They know how to do that. But I wonder, do they know how to pour oil, Mama? In our Baptist churches, most of the teaching comes from God's man or God's the preacher's wife. But this mama taught them youngins how to pour oil. And I wonder how long has it been, Daddy, since your children saw you pour oil. Enjoy God.
Amen.
Enjoy church.
Yes.
How long has it been, Mama, since your youngins saw their mama pour oil? I was a preacher Sunday morning. And I made this statement to my ladies in my church. Our children are missing the days that our mothers would gather our children around a bedroom and go to tell them about when God saved her and get tore up telling their children
about God saving her. Amen. I had a mama one time. I had a shouting mama. And my mama sung a song often. My mama texted me every day, telling me she loves me and she prays for me. She texted me today when I was with you. He said, "I love you, son, and I'm praying for you tonight." Thank you, Mama. And she sang a song that I loved as a little boy. I don't know, I was 8, 9 years old. And I asked her to sing it one night at church as a little boy, and she didn't. I got in the car and on my way home, I said, "Mama, I want you to sing that song for me tonight." She said, "I will." I thought next Sunday. We got home Sunday night. Mama said, "Sit down, Steve, and sing you that song." I sat down in a chair beside of her. She got to singing three old rusty nails. They nailed Jesus to the cross. She got done. My mama was crying. My mama was weeping. And here's what she said. She said, "Steve, that man I'm singing about died for you." She said, "And one day he's going to deal your heart." She said, "Give your heart to him, Steve. Face up for God." Her tears never dropped on my knees. I'm going to tell you something tonight. We're missing that, Mama. Daddy, we're missing taking the boys behind the barn and letting Daddy pull. Amen. I wonder how much this oil got on his youngins. On him. Probably all got slashing up on them children. You say, "Preacher, they're young. Mama, I'd slash oil on them every now and again." Thank God, when I got to pour it, I'd go to slash it on my children every now and again. Why? Because they need help too, Mama. Daddy, what you got to say to the creditor? What you got to keep the creditor away? Mama, what do you have to keep the creditor from taking your little girl and put her over yonder some crack house somewhere? Not knowing who she spent the night with. Daddy, what do you have? I'll tell you what you got, Daddy. If you're born again, you got to save a pot of oil. What you got? It'd do us all good just to go to pouring. I'm through. But listen for me. I'm through. We do a lot of bragging on our pot. But Mineral Park Baptist Church, bragging on your pot don't help your children. Pouring oil is the only thing that's going to help them.